Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Healthy and Thriving Relationships Podcast. We are Gordon and Tara Avery, a husband and wife team that is super passionate about healthy and thriving relationships. Everything from dating to marriage to faith to yourself. You know, we just want all of your relationships to flourish. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and let's do this thing. Okay, so I have this idea. What if we turn this podcast into a crooner podcast? So instead of talking about all of these relationships, we sing about them. Be like communication.
That doesn't sound crooner, babe.
Oh, baby, communication.
You gotta do more throatiness.
More commune. Now I feel like I'm like Louis Armstrong. I feel like I just did the McDonald's thing.
I'm loving it.
I'm loving it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, please don't go to McDonald's. That's not good for you.
No. Poisonous.
Our first rule of relationships, don't eat at McDonald's. Come on, there's better fast food anyways if you're gonna go that route. I just say it's super crazy expensive? Like, what in the world? Last time we went to McDonald's on a road trip, we had a weak moment. We're like, oh, this will be quick. I think it was breakfast. It was like a really long, it was a 14-hour road trip. And we're like, oh, McDonald's, that'll be like, at least it'll be a cheap.
So expensive.
So expensive. Unbelievable. I was like, what is this, dinner? I was like, this is like a little Egg McMuffin with nothing on it.
Okay,
side note, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
A series called Healthy Communication.
Yes.
And today we are talking about communication that hurts. Just so much of our like issues and relationships just come down to miscommunication. And we've talked a lot in other episodes about like things we can do to have better communication. Mm-hmm. And so today's is more about like, what are the things that are so common to do in communication, but that are actually really hurting our relationships. Just so we can be aware of like, oh my gosh, that's not a good way to communicate.
Yeah, it's almost like this is a do not do list of communication habits.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about a lot as we were like outlining and talking about like what are hurtful things when it comes to communication relationships, what we notice is so many of the things we've actually heard people out there, Instagram, even people that are quote unquote like relationship experts say to do some of these things like, oh no, I think that's fine. Or friends will say to do these type of things. And so oftentimes other people are like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Of course you should
like
do this.
Like as if these are like healthy things.
As if, yes, some of them are obviously not healthy things, but sometimes some of them I've actually heard people go, yeah, what's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, duh, that's not good. You do not want to do that. That's not an okay thing.
Yeah. And I think just overall, so many of us are just completely unaware that the way that we're communicating, if a lot like the ones we go through today, if you're like, yeah, I do that, or oh, I do that too, or and there just might not be an awareness that
for sure,
oh, that's like not helpful to the relationship, and that's actually hurting the relationship. So we just want to bring like an awareness to that in this episode
for sure.
We're just going to talk about kind of what are the things that we shouldn't do when communicating,
yes,
especially when it comes to arguments and fights and stuff like that. Yeah, I think a lot of these kind of pertain to like tension in relationships.
Yeah. And a lot of them you'll feel the most in marriage. This also, though, relates to any relationship as well. All right. So let's dive on in. The first one, what would you say one of the first things to not do when communicating?
Is we should not use extreme statements.
Mm.
This is really common, I think, for women. Specifically, there's like deeper reasons why we go to these extremes of saying things, but using phrases like that start with like, you never.
Oh, okay.
or you always.
You never or you always.
You never take me out to dinner.
Yeah. You always leave your dishes out on the counter instead of putting them in the sink. The problem is with these is those are not true most of the time. Now, what we're saying is we're taking extreme. You literally have never once done this. That's what never means, or you always do it. And what that does is it sparks in the other person instantly want to defend yourself. What are you talking about? I never do that.
Yeah.
We just went like a couple weeks ago out for a date night. And you're like, well, I mean, that was one time, but then before, you know, like, feels, it can feel unfair. Yeah. It can feel
unfair. Yeah.
To say that,
And just kind of, you feel like it disregards all the great things that you have done in the relationship or the times you have taken her out to dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
That just feels like that's just completely forgotten and disregarded. And
it's true. It doesn't make you want to do it because you're like, I just, I actually had this happen, before we got married, living in my parents' house. I remember looking around, I went downstairs, I was taking a break from work and I went down because I was working from the house and I went downstairs. I was like, wow, it is a disaster down here. So I literally spent an hour like cleaning, picking up some stuff. Now it wasn't fully clean yet, but it was a lot better than it was. And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be great. And then, oh my dad, he did not realize I did this and we're totally good now, and we've all done this. I remember that very day was like, could you help around the house? You like never pick up a clean out dinner.
Ouch.
And I was like so mad because I was like, are you kidding me right now? Do you know what I just did today? Just you never statements are not good. It's just not fair. And it's not smart in terms of you're not going to make the person want to do the thing or stop doing the thing that you want them to. So those are things to stay away from.
What's another one? What's another way that we communicate that actually hurts people?
Definitely shaming or guilting people. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I don't think we are even aware that we're shaming and guilting. So an example. When someone makes a mistake, right? They make a mistake. And we say things like, I knew I couldn't count on you. Mm. Oh, I knew you'd do that. That was a little bit more obvious that you're shaming them or guilting them.
Feel that.
That's a really hurtful thing to say. Even if you thought like that might happen, don't say that.
Right.
Don't say that. I would say, I guess you could ask like, why is that hurtful and why would you not? Well, it's obvious why it's hurtful, but why would you not want to say that? I think what you're doing is you're creating like, this expectation in the other person that I don't believe in you. Because when you say, I knew you would do that, what it means to the other person is you don't trust me at all, which doesn't encourage them to want to change their behavior. It's hard to change your behavior when people don't believe you can anyways.
Yeah. They're just going to assume that you're going to mess up again.
Yeah.
Saying things like under still shame and guilt, like, why'd you do that? And I was laughing a little earlier when you were talking because I had like seen that that was another example that we had written down. And I just kind of snickered because I used to do this all the time to you. I honestly don't feel like I was trying to shame or guilt you, but like you'd spill something or you would, I don't know, do something that you obviously didn't intend to do.
I broke
a glass or something.
It was our French press. And we had like really researched and find like the one
we
want.
It's
like a
press.
I won't say double barrel. That's a gun. Double walled. There it is. A double walled like French press. And it was glass. And I was like trying to like shake out, you know, the grounds.
Into the garbage.
And accidentally hit the edge of the garbage. And it shattered everywhere. Yeah. And I was like, oh no. And then your first
words were, why did you do that?
Why would you do that? And I got so mad. I was like, you think I wanted to do this?
So
why would
just,
I do that? I
it's
thought.
Just stupid. It's
and then
just
I said bad things back.
That.
I was not good back either. I was like, yeah, I totally thought, you know what? We spent so much money and time on this thing. I just want to break it.
Yeah. So we so went I didn't through respond a small well either. Phase I didn't where respond for well. Some reason I was saying that all the time and it always rubbed him wrong and he would get angry about it. So I've learned that is not a helpful thing to say.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, of course you didn't mean to break the French press. Like you weren't intentionally being like, yeah, I'm going to break that. So that's just silly. A silly it's thing almost, to
it
say. Feel, that
it makes feels you like feel you're dumb. Rubbing in the mistake. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like you made a mistake and clearly I did this. And then when someone says, well, why would you do that? And you're like, wow, that's just rubbing in. Yeah. Okay. How about this though? Okay. Will, guy, cause I think this is one that men, we tend to do often, especially with wives, is say things like you shouldn't feel that way.
Man. Yeah. No, not. Don't say
I
that.
I wish
to
everyone
us.
Could see your face right now because your facial expression like said it all
like,
when I said that.
Excuse me, I shouldn't feel this way.
Do not do that. Especially when your wife is feeling something and you're like, that's like an illogical thing. Like you should not feel that way.
Yeah, like well, don't make me feel dumb because of how I'm feeling.
You're like making her basically shaming her for the feelings. Now, the feelings are hard to control. It's what we do after we feel the things. Mm-hmm. We can't really control the way we feel, but we can control our actions.
Yes.
And what she just wants from you is she just wants to feel like you're on her team and she just wants to feel hurt.
Mm-hmm.
All she probably knows this. Would you say like most women, you're like, yeah, I know this isn't logical or sense it. And then once someone just like listens to you and you can get it out, then all of a sudden you're like.
Sometimes it's just about getting it out. Like, the I logic, need to get out these things.
Yeah, now it's logical. Once I got it out, now I'm like, okay. Yeah, totally. I know I'm being a little extreme on that. And all you just needed. So just don't say that to
and then
a woman.
Just the last example under shame and guilt is like saying just directly to someone like, oh, that's dumb. That's stupid.
Someone said, hey, what if we did this? And you say, that's dumb.
Yeah, like just don't say stuff like that.
I see married couples do that all the time. With each other.
Like, why are you so dumb? Or like,
yeah, why are you so dumb? Like, you got to be really careful about that. You can laugh and chuckle, but after years of that, that starts getting old.
Yep.
So it's really like a shaming that person and making them feel stupid. Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that really bothers me when it comes to like communication that hurts is assuming the worst of another person's intentions. Like, assuming that I know like you're. I know your intentions and this is what you intended and it was to hurt me. And like, we should just never assume that we know someone's intentions.
Yeah.
Because no one knows. Sometimes we don't even know our own intentions for why we do things. Only God knows our like true intentions. So, you know, kind of what I had said in my example just now, like saying things like you said that or you did that to hurt me or you did it on purpose and like pointing the finger in that way of like, you like assuming that they meant to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, it's like assuming that that person doesn't really care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, it's almost placing you above them.
Yeah.
Like, of course you would choose to hurt me, you know, which usually means that I'm thinking, but I don't ever intend to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we're not saying that, but it even comes across that way. And you know what worries me about when you assume another person's intentions? It's a really, first of all, it's a really, really bad habit to get into. We've done this culture wide. We just assume the worst of everybody.
Yeah.
Someone says something, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, they're totally this, so they're totally that. They're the worst person ever." Mm-hmm. And we just assume they meant this and they meant that, or what? Sometimes someone says something, and nowadays we're so sensitive. Someone says something, not knowing that would offend somebody. It was not in their mind. They didn't want to offend anybody, but someone took offense to it.
Yeah.
And instead of just going, hey, by the way, that offended me and this is why, they go, you, that person, they knew you were, you're a horrible person. Mm-hmm. And didn't you know? And the other person's like, I didn't know. And then we call him a liar. No, of course you knew. How could you not know?
Right.
And you're like,
yeah,
I didn't know because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't live in your shoes. I had no idea about that. But yeah, you're right. It's a very divisive thing and it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually changes the way we've talked about in the past, your RAS filter in your mind, how your mind starts filtering out what reality is.
Mm-hmm.
The more you assume people's intentions, it actually changes the way you see the world and you only see the world through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get to the point where, especially I've seen, there's been lots of women that like had unfortunate like men growing up in their life. Their dads were abusive, or they saw their moms, boyfriends were abusive. They didn't see good examples of men. And so what they end up doing is they actually filter, without realizing, they filter their whole brain to think all men are this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of part of like, all men have some bad agenda. All men have some bad intentions. All men want to hurt me.
Right.
And like, that's an extreme example, but that's where it can lead. It's actually mm-hmm. why it's so dangerous to do that. And it's really not fair to the other person too.
Sure. All right, what's another one, babe, that you can think of that is not like unhelpful communication?
Oh, how about this one? When someone is like sharing with you, like, and you attack them back. So this is what I mean by that is someone comes in. I remember hearing a story of a boss who told their employers, like, hey, if there's anything that I do that like bothers you, or something that you want to talk about, or I said something and it rubbed you the wrong way, I want you to know that you are welcome to come into my office. We can talk about it. I want you to feel like you can share that with me. So one of the employees went in and said, hey, there was something you said to bring this up. If something bothered me, there was something that like you said or it kind of went about and it's bothered me. It's rubbed me the wrong way. And shares that with them, with the boss. And the boss immediately goes, all right, cool. Can I share something that bothers me about you?
Right.
And then
like all of a sudden this is
all
like
all of a sudden, oh, now I'm gonna
we don't like about each other time.
Yeah. Well, now I'm gonna and then you know what that employee did? They never shared again with their boss. And that is an easy thing to do because when someone says, well, there's something that bothers me about you or something that you did that hurt me.
Most people want to get like defensive.
Yeah. I want to show that, well, it doesn't just go one way.
Yeah.
There's also things that you did. That is not the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the other person goes, hey, now is there anything that I've done that's bothered you?
Yeah.
Then they've welcomed you into that moment. But it would be better to discuss those other things later. Let the person just share, listen, apologize, clarify if you need to. Tell them if you're, hey, I'm so sorry. I can see how that would hurt you. That was not my intentions at all, but I can totally see how it would come across that way. Like, just don't attack, point the finger back. Like, well, now let me tell you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that happens, I think, like way, way too often.
Totally.
Yeah.
Another thing that I need to work on in my communication is like not running away. Like so often it's easy to just run away, whether that's like literally running away from them.
Yeah.
I remember storming out of the house once with my mom when we got into an argument and just like, I didn't go anywhere. I just went into the yard and sat down and she eventually came out to me, but it was still like probably not the best way to like respond. Or like, I think what I do more often is like stonewalling. Or just ignoring.
That's an interesting thing. Ignoring the problem is actually running away. It's an unhealthy thing to do.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like this is like so hurtful?
I think when you ignore a problem that someone either brings up or you just ignore problems in general, like first of all, you're like building up like bitterness towards each other, or you're just packing on the problems to eventually like it will need to be talked about because someone will explode about it. But when I tend to stonewall, I know it's usually when something gets brought up between me and another person in our relationship. And I'm just processing, but a lot of times I'm just blank inside. Like I'm just not even thinking. Like I'm feeling like numb. So I'm just stonewalling. But it could come across as like that's a way of shaming or guilting you, leaving you to figure it out on your own. And really just like kind of fend for yourself. Like I'm not going to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm not going to like add anything to this conversation. And that's not helpful to the relationship.
Yeah.
To like leave you to work on it on your own or.
Yeah, a lot of these are, if you saw these actions in like a team, like a sports team, you go, oh, clearly that's not a healthy way to deal with that as a team. And marriage especially is a team.
Right.
Family is like a team. And And yeah, I could see, man, I could totally get that. You know, you want to engage with the person. Sometimes you need to cool off. That can be wise, but you'd say, hey, we're okay. I'm mm-hmm. upset, obviously, but let's set a time to talk about it. But just instantly running away.
Right. And when earlier when I said like some people physically like run away, like mm-hmm. what's really common is for people to like leave the house and go sleep other places.
Oh, like in a marriage.
Especially, yeah, unhealthy in marriage. That's bad communication.
That is, we cannot emphasize this point more, that do not ever in marriage, just make it your, I am determined that we will never, if we have a big fight, one of us leave and go sleep at my mom's house, mm-hmm. you know? That they will that is a very, very dangerous thing. You do not know the effects that is going to have on your marriage. That is setting you up for, because what you're doing is you're practicing separating. Mm-hmm. That's what you're practicing. I know you're so angry and so upset and everything in you wants to get away, but sleep in that house.
Mm-hmm.
We even determined, like, even if we're really mad, we are going to attempt the best we can to still sleep in the same bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because the couch is bad enough, that's not a good habit. That's a very bad habit to do.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to see the results of what sleeping on the couch ends up being. You're practicing separation instead of like commitment.
Right.
Even though we're mad, I'm committed to you.
I'm still committed to you. And I'm showing it by sleeping in this bed. We don't have to talk. I'm not going to talk to you maybe, but like just committing to mm-hmm. for the time being, like, but I'm not going to leave you. And like abandonment is such a huge insecurity for so many people have experienced being abandoned. And they think that even just sleeping on the couch, but especially leaving the house
mm-hmm.
or just storming out and your spouse or whoever doesn't know where you are.
Yeah.
That can spark some really huge fears inside of them that can break trust just because of that.
Yeah.
Like, well, I thought you were going to abandon me.
Totally. And it may sound strange. Like, wait, how does that have anything to do with like talking about communication that hurts? Well, here's what you're doing. You are communicating a lot by leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
So much of our communication is not with our words. It's the way we act and respond mm-hmm. in our body language, or the fact that we just don't respond or disappear. You are communicating so much, and it really detours the trust, because then you start wondering, you start self-sabotaging your relationship, because you're like, well, when they say that they're here for me forever, I don't know if I can trust that, because we have a big fight and they don't even stay in the same house.
Right.
That also kind of leads, I think, into our next one, which I say is like inappropriate sharing. Mm. Communicating, especially when, so what happens is oftentimes you leave the house, you're so mad, you go to like your parents' house or even a friend's house. And then what ends up happening is a lot of inappropriate
inevitably,
sharing.
Inevitably, you're going to share everything that just happened. And mm-hmm. sometimes that's not stuff, especially in your marriage, that you should be sharing with people outside your marriage, especially people who are close to, you know, both of you in your marriage. You can easily fall into like gossiping and slandering, especially about that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to like vent sometimes. But I was just reading this in the Psalms yesterday that like David, he's talking about like our anger and mm-hmm. our words and the power of our words. And when we're angry is when we should be slow to speak, because that's when we tend to say things that we don't mean.
Yeah.
And so if we have those feelings of like needing to vent, like do that with God.
Yeah.
Like God is the one that can handle those things. He's not going to shame or guilt you back. Like, he's a safe place to be able to vent. And so, like, we'll often use venting to people as a way of basically slandering people.
Mm, okay.
Especially if those people know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
At least that's how I'm processing, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Processing this. That's, like, connected very much. You're, like, slandering a lot of times in that situation, that person, for sure. And that kind of brings up just gossip and slander anyways, that is one of the most horrible habits to have is gossip. Mm-hmm. Even if it's true, does not mean that it's not gossip.
Right.
That may be slander sometimes is true. Oftentimes it's not. Mm-hmm. When you share something, it's sharing things that you should not be sharing with other people. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're not saying, so gossip and slander is an example of really bad, unhealthy communication.
Yes.
But also going back to the like leaving the house example, or mm-hmm. A husband and wife are having, let's say, a hard time.
Yeah.
One of the ways that it's like inappropriate sharing is sharing with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
What we are not saying is if you're having problems, keep it to yourself. That's not healthy. And mm-hmm. oftentimes when a husband and wife are having a hard time, they need to have someone wise that they can share with that can walk them through that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain friends. That's why we talk a lot about having iron sharpens iron friendships,
right?
That you can share with. But here would be examples of the wrong people to share with, especially let's say in a marriage you're having a hard time. Do not share with any people who would encourage a divorce.
Mm.
If your friend, your mom, your aunt, whoever, you know that they would even go, well, maybe you guys are just, you seem really unhappy. And so maybe divorce needs to be the option. That is a sign that person, I am never sharing any problems that we have. Again, they are untrustworthy. That is not what a true friend does. The true friend would say, what are you doing here? You cannot sleep here. Mm-hmm. You need to go back to your wife.
Yeah.
And you need to sleep in the house, even though you're mad. Mm-hmm. Or you need to go back to your husband. Like, do not do, that's what a good friend is. That's the kind of person you can share with, because they're going to encourage the relationship.
Yeah, they're going to be for you.
Totally.
In your relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would just be in general. People that are not for your relationship, those aren't the right people to share with. Except in one case, if you're still like in the dating, courting phase, okay, you want people to be honest about your relationship mm-hmm. with you.
Yeah.
That you want to go into marriage full eyes open.
Yep.
You know? But in marriage, once you're married, and there's people that weren't fan of the marriage, those are people you don't share mm-hmm. what's going on in your marriage with. They're not trustworthy because they're probably going to lead you away. And mm-hmm. God is like very clear, like divorce, not okay with it. I am not mm-hmm. down with it. Very rare circumstances where it would even be considered okay in the Bible. Yeah. So you really want to be careful mm-hmm. who you're sharing with.
Yeah. Another one under that same like umbrella of like who do you share with is you don't want to share with people who have bad relationships themselves or who like just so aren't, true. Just who are always like just breaking up with the same person over and over and over, getting back with that person, not having a good like track record of healthy relationships. Like
those people
are often the ones that want to give advice because they mm-hmm. think they've had all the experiences. And so they want to like show you what to do, but they haven't had the right experience to be able to share like healthy feedback and give you like advice or be for you in that way.
I have noticed something, and maybe this has just been my own story and perspective. But the way, what I've noticed, and maybe other people see it differently, but what I've noticed, I feel like, especially currently in this cultural moment that we're living in, is those that have a lot of failures, let's so to say, or have had really bad relationships, just kind of like made a lot of mistakes in life in general, feel like they now, because of all the mistakes, have like the most advice to share. And so they share too much. Like what you just said. But where I'm going with this, not just repeating you, where I'm going with this is then it seems like those that have actually had success in our cultural moment feel wary about sharing their success because people then like just totally, oh, that's so prideful. And well, maybe that works for you and that doesn't work mm-hmm. for everybody. And so they're very weary of sharing. And so the people that want to share don't have the good results. And those that have the good results, we've created such a culture of like
judgment and like,
you're judging people. If you,
healthy,
and you're like, I just have had really good help. I've like really done this really well. So I want to help.
Right. But you've learned to do things well because you have had help from others.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah.
Like, so your first statement was right.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have one more.
One more. Let's talk about one more.
Okay, one more. When communicating, it's not good to use threats and punishments.
Oh, man. This is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So threatening
to divorce.
That's huge.
For example.
That's just mm-hmm. a don't do, like we did another episode where we talked about, I think it was the strange things happy marriages do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that found when you study really, really happy couples that have been married for a long time is they all have something in common. They refuse to word. They say, we have a word that's not allowed in our house and it's the D word. It's divorce. We don't even mention it.
We don't joke about it.
Yeah. They don't even say things like, oh my gosh, if I did that, my wife would totally divorce me. Right.
It's
as like
not
a joke.
Even an option.
You don't even joke about it. It's not an option. There is no talk about it. We don't even use the word. Because it's just not an option. It's a very dangerous, especially in the age where we have no fault divorce and all of that. It's a really dangerous thing to even start going. It's a very slippery slope. And it makes your relationship and marriage that's supposed to be kind of like this example of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And now you're adding a big condition. If you don't do this well enough, what I like, I'm going to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
What is that communicating?
Yeah. Yep.
That's not communicating, I am dedicated to you regardless.
Mm-hmm.
That's what marriage is supposed to be, you know, to death to us part, like for better or poorer, as the old, you know, for richer or poorer, for better or worse. That's like the old school, like vows, which is actually pretty amazing if you think about it. What a beautiful vow, like in sickness or in health, for richer or for poorer, or for better or for worse. Like wherever we're at, like I'm committed to you. So don't do that at all.
Another thing that you see a lot when people use threats is like threatening to never speak to you again.
Mm.
Like if they tell you someone, like a friend or something tells you a big secret and you know that it's like someone needs to know that.
It's something that
about your situation. And they're like, if you ever tell anyone this, I'm never going to speak to you again. That's a little unfair.
Yeah. Don't ever threaten things like that. I'll never speak to you if you do this. That's just a really unhealthy thing to say. And what you're doing is you're using fear to try to control the other person is what you're doing. So a lot of this is just fear.
It's just fear-based.
Oh, that's what it is. This just struck me of like, you're using fear to control.
To control the situation.
And as the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. If you're still fearful, that means God's love has not been perfected in you, as 1 John says. And so fear and love do not go together. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very unloving thing to do because you're using fear as the main motivator there.
Yep. And I think another huge punishment or threat that you see in marriage specifically is just the threat of like withholding sex.
This is really important.
Mm-hmm. Why is this so important?
Well, I think, first, let's just go to like, the scriptures actually specifically talks about this very thing.
Yes. Yeah. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians and I think other places too.
Yeah.
It's talked about a lot.
So especially when you have unique situations like this, like a wife is withholding sex from her husband. And when you have the Bible address a very specific issue like that, that is like a, whoa, let's pay attention. Because this doesn't happen very often because it's mostly like big principles that relate to kind of every situation. But there are some amazing times where there's a specific behavior that is talked about. And this is one of those. Could you just like read where that is in like 1 Corinthians?
Yep. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:5, he says, so do not withhold sex from one another unless both of you have agreed to devote a certain period of time to prayer. When the agreed time is over, come together again so that Satan will not tempt you when you are short on self-control.
This is a really important that the Bible literally commands us to not withhold sex from each other. Now, to clarify, and it's, I feel like I have to clarify this. He is speaking about a husband and wife.
Yes.
That is the only time and place a man and a woman married, committed to each other, mm-hmm. that the Bible says, yes, sex is now a blessing. Otherwise, yeah. it ends up just being a curse. Mm-hmm. And so that is, this is touchy. This is touchy. But notice that he says, like, if you withhold sex, like, you're given a foothold for the devil. He's going to come in mm-hmm. and he's going to mess things up. There are a lot of horrible things that have happened, affairs that have happened. And I've heard the stories of, this is tough because it's wrong on both ways, is husband ends up having an affair on his wife. And you're like, why would you do that? And he's like, she refused to have sex with me. And it wasn't mm-hmm. like, it was like for years, refused to have sex with him. And he's like, what else should I do? Now, listen, what I am not saying, I want to make this very clear. That is not okay to commit adultery on your wife. I don't care if she refused to have sex with you for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Your responsibility is still to be faithful to your wife.
Yes.
How often, a marriage represents a relationship between God and us. And how often am I holding out on God?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't give up on me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go, well, I'll go somewhere else then. No, that is still not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think women understand how deeply damaging that is, though. To a man, that would be like a man never saying, I love you.
Yeah.
Refusing to say that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Refusing to like give you a hug. Like that's how much it basically to a man goes, there's no way that you love me.
Yeah.
And that's going to make him not treat her very loving as well.
So if you're withholding that, it's just opening up doors to other kinds of temptations.
Yeah. And I want to be gentle here, but if you're withholding as a wife sex from your husband, now there's certain situations, abuse. Abuse is always the exception, but it needs to make sure that it's actually abuse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in abuse, yes, that's a completely different situation. You need to get some help. We might need to separate from that situation. It's dangerous.
Right.
But other than that, and Paul does give an example, other than if you're like, hey, I'm on my, first of all, like if you're on your period, you can say no. this is not a command for any time your husband wants to have sex, you must give it to him.
That shouldn't even be how sex works.
I mean, like, there's
it should be a willing thing. For sure.
Like, guys, listen, your wife is not going to always feel like it. And you're not going to get sex every time that you want it. That's not what this is saying. There's even a Levitical law that talks about, like, men to the Israelites at the time, do not have sex with your wife when she's on her period. And that was to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
All the women are like, praise you, God, for that. Thank you. He even put it in as a law, as a beautiful way to just like, as a loving act to women. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the women are like, wow, that's one of my favorite laws. And so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about withholding because you're mad or I don't feel loved.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to have sex. Why would I have sex with you? You haven't been treating me very well.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It is wrong. It doesn't excuse his actions for having an affair, but it also was wrong. And the Bible commands you not to do that. So, I got a little heated on there. It's a bothersome thing where I'm like, both sides are really wrong in this, but that is a really horrible punishment. Or like threatening it. Hey, I won't have sex until you do this or that. That's the dangerous road to go down. You do not want to do that.
Yeah, anytime that you're trying to control the other by doing threats and punishments, that's never.
Mm.
That's a big like red flag of like, my heart's in a bad place.
Wow.
So that's it. Those are just some of the things that we could think on when we were, you know, discussing like what are some like hurtful ways that we oftentimes communicate.
Yeah.
And I think it just goes back to like just a reminder of like why do we do this?
Yeah. Why do we do all these hurtful things to
each
other?
Why is sometimes our instant reactions to hurt the other person? Like I think for a lot of people, like you learn certain behaviors from the family that you grew up in.
Mm, yeah.
So oftentimes like maybe we're just mirroring or imitating what we've seen growing up.
That's really good.
We're not really aware that it's hurtful, or maybe we are, but it's just that's our natural go-to instinct because it's been like pounded in our brains.
Yep.
That
is so true. That's why we've talked so much. We've talked so often in almost every series about like going back to your past. How were you raised? What was your family? What was your history?
Yeah.
In a culture where we just want to forget the past. Oh, the past doesn't matter. And what we, what we're trying to say is even if you've had a bad past, there's still hope. But the message often comes across to like, oh, just forget the past. The past takes no impact. No, the past makes a ton of impact.
Totally.
And so you need to really understand.
There's a lot of rewiring that we have to do from things that we learned from our pasts. Yeah. But I think another big one is just simply that we want to hurt others because we feel hurt ourselves.
Oof. Rachel, so that is so true. There's that sense
of like, I want to hurt you because you hurt me. So it's almost like a revenge tactic.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know?
Let's be honest. We all want revenge. The best of us, when someone hurts me, if I'm being real, I want to hurt them back.
Of course.
I want them to feel the pain that I've felt.
And it's natural. Mm-hmm. These are all natural instincts because our sin nature.
Yeah.
Because it's our natural inclination to like be selfish and to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
And to like hurt others if they've hurt us.
And this is really important to believe. This is not like a bummer. Oh, what a bummer. What a horrible way to view the world. No, it's the truth always sets you free. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's a lot of thing of like, no. We're all born basically good. We're all inherently good.
And
we just made some mistakes. Or the only thing that's wrong with me is because of what people did to me. So it's not really my fault. And it's actually a really dangerous way to think because it makes life really confusing. Why are we so quick to hurt people? Why is there so much hurtful things? But it also leads you to understanding what you need. Basically going forward is not to rely on myself. I must rely on Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's a passage. This is crazy. After the flood in Genesis, when God is making his covenant again to the earth, you know, and to the animals and to human beings, like, I'm not going to send a flood. He says something really particular. And it's so clear that we have to understand about this, like why we tend to hurt people. This is, check this out in Genesis 8. This is what it says. It says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. Basically, Noah had just built an altar.
Okay.
An altar to God and all of that. So the smoke coming up and that symbolism.
Yeah, context.
The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Now check this part out. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood.
Wow. That is directly from God.
That's from God's mouth to our ears.
Our creator.
That's not someone else commenting and going, hey, it kind of appears that. No, that's literally God's. Yeah. When he looks at human beings, he goes, this is the truth. Here's how like the NLT says it. Sometimes it's cool to hear it in another translation. The NLT says, even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood.
Wow.
We're not inherently good. That's why we hurt each other.
Yeah.
But that is why we need Jesus. Think of what Jesus said. Jesus says it doesn't matter how you were born. That's the point is you were all born inherited sin because one man, as Paul says in I think Galatians and Romans, where like because of one man's sin, we all sin. Mm-hmm. It was passed down, inherited from Adam, passed down.
From generation to generation.
You were built. This is why you don't have to teach children how to lie. We all instantly know how to do it. No one had to teach us. We instantly know how to lie and know how to lie really well too. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. He says like, unless you are born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's like saying like, you need to have me rebirth you. The Holy Spirit come and rebirth you because you were born with a sin nature. You need to have into God's family, born into God's family, sinless and all of that. We could dive into the theology of that and everything, but that's why we hurt each other. Mm-hmm. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we said at the beginning, like, you just trying to go, oh, I'm just not going to do these things. It's not going to work very well. The reason that we're angry is there's a lot of hurts and stuff. And we're also naturally selfish. And so we need Jesus to come in and start changing these habits in us, remaking us as a new creation. And so that's really good for us to keep in mind of why we say the things that we say. Jesus said that comes from our heart.
Yeah.
And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, let me come, let me put a new heart in you. Like all of this, this is like, it's hard that we've lost this. That's actually really helpful when I know, oh my gosh, well, no wonder I say these things. That's my sin nature. Oh yeah, that's why I need Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's why I need him to remake me and renew me. And someday at the resurrection, I'll finally be free from these natural inclinations towards selfishness and all that stuff.
Amen.
And so, yes.
Can't wait for that.
Oh, man. Well, I really like this. Sometimes when we do like a don't do, episode, you're like, oh, this is going to be a bummer episode. All we're doing is don't do this and don't do that. But I feel like oftentimes like at the end, you're like, oh, actually, wow, that was strangely encouraging even to like myself. And hopefully listening to this, you feel that too, you know? Where you're like, oh, that's helpful. Sometimes just knowing what not to do is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. I know that in my life. You're like, just don't do these things. You're like, oh, okay, thank you. So hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Okay. Nice. Well, if you, want to hear any more from us, you can go to our website, download some of our free resources. That's at taraandgordon.com. And on there, you can also sign up for our Love and Lattes, which is like a weekly coffee date with us. You get some weekly relationship tips sent right to your inbox every week. And otherwise, we will gear up for another episode next week.
All right. See you guys.